Hello, folks. Dr. Maurice Selby here, medical director, producer, and co-host of Health in Harlem on WHCR 90.3 FM and the Health in Harlem podcast. While we strive to bring you the most up-to-date, reliable, evidence-based information to help you live the healthiest life possible, this show does not substitute for an evaluation by a trained and licensed medical professional. It is highly recommended that any advice or recommendations on medications, treatments, nutrition, fitness, preventive services, etc., be implemented under the guidance and supervision of your primary medical provider or appropriate specialist. With that said, we hope that you enjoy and learn from our program, and please be sure to let us know how we can best serve you in future shows. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maurice Selby.
My name is Reed.
My name is Anastasia.
And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the one and only Health in Harlem on WHCR 90.3 FM New York and the Health in Harlem podcast featured on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and more. Let's say that. So, we definitely spread out recently, man. We got on multiple platforms and we are excited to bring you yet another show, ladies and gentlemen. And before we delve right in, I just have an update, right? Because I told you to hold me to this out there in the listening audience. And I did see my doc, Dr. Mikey. He's a gastroenterologist. And I am scheduled for my colonoscopy next week, Monday, October 5th. That's right. I'm going to get it done. And I told you I was going to get it done. And as we said, we are honoring, right? I feel like the best way that you can sort of honor someone and carry on their legacy is essentially to do, right, what that person did, which Chadwick Boseman in his fight against colon cancer, right, and just bringing awareness to that with his passing. And again, we thank his family and Mr. Boseman himself for sharing that with us because we learn from that. And so, yeah, I'm scheduled. October 5th is the day. Going to get it done. And then I will share my experience with you all. The idea that I really want to encourage us to take that step, especially Black men out there. Don't be selfish, right? It's not just about you, but about your families as well. This is just something that we have to get it done. And it's just funny how things work, man, because I was supposed to have it done 6 months ago, right before COVID hit, April 2nd, just right before our birthday. I was supposed to have this done this way I could just sort of, you know, move on and enjoy my birthday, sort of knowing, you know, what's going on, especially with that family history. As I shared with you all, my father passed away at a very young age as well from colon cancer. And so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what's happening after October 5th. But I felt I would share that with you and let you know that Maurice Donovan Selby, right, the host of Health in Harlem, is taking his health seriously. So we are not hypocrites on this program. And with that said, I got to be upfront too, man. I'm selfish in this show in a way because I feel like this is kind of me getting information for myself. So when I think about the picture of health and wellness, right, I think of my boy Thomas Johnson. And when I think of Thomas Johnson, I think about the picture of health and wellness, basically. And Thomas Johnson Jr., he is the founder and CEO of Get Up and Get Fit, LLC. He graduated from the State University of New York with a Bachelor of Arts in Food and Nutrition. And he is a certified personal trainer by the National Academy of Sports Medicine. And Mr. Johnson is also a National Posture Institute certified posture specialist. And most importantly, I got to get this in there. You know, I had to put this in there, Thomas. He's an alumnus of Curtis High School and a fellow Staten Islander. So, see, shout out to that. yo, man. Yeah, we go way back. We played football and ran track together. And, definitely. You know, we're at Curtis High School together on Staten Island. And yes, we are Curtis Warriors for life. And so shout out to all the other Curtis alums out there, all the other Warriors out there. We just had to get that out the way, yes, ladies indeed. And gentlemen. But yeah, so as a physician and the host of Health in Harlem, right, I'm acutely aware of the importance of health maintenance. And this is why I said I am selfish with this show, right? Because I understand that living healthily, this is a lifestyle and it's not synonymous with trying the latest fad diet or fitness craze. It's really about the smallest and seemingly inconsequential choices that we make each and every day. And I'm also acutely aware of the difficulty in executing this quote unquote healthy lifestyle, especially when it comes to staying motivated, when it comes to juggling, you know, the rest of life's responsibilities and distractions and competing interests. And with that said, this is me being selfish on this show because I'm looking for this information from Thomas Johnson right now because looking at what you've been doing through your enterprise with Get Up and Get Fit and just sort of the sort of personal journey that I've just been, you know, seeing, looking at you on Facebook and stuff and sort of talking with you. And as we progress through the years from Curtis High School to now, I felt like you definitely have some valuable things to share with our listening audience as far as health and nutrition. And so with that said, man, finally, welcome to the program. And yeah, we want to know how we can live these happy, healthy and get up and get fit lives.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks for welcoming me. So I know him as Mo. You guys know him as Maurice Shelby. I know him as Mo, right? So I'm going to call him Mo.
That's what's up.
So guys, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you beautiful people and to share some of my knowledge, what I've learned over the years. I'm always want to not only learn, but share what I've learned because I know there's so much noise out there and people tend to get confused with all the noise out there on the internet.
All right. So yeah, just tell us your story, Thomas. How did you sort of get up and get fit, quote unquote, and sort of what was in your mind and what did you envision when you decided to make health and wellness a focal point in your life?
So the funny thing is, I never had an end goal. So, you know, you and I both have a sports background. We played football in high school, ran track, you know, we are competitors. Mm-hmm. So being Staten Island and always competing, I mean, I was a person that I wasn't really into eating junk food or drinking. I was always into taking care of my body and put myself in the right position to execute and basically dominate, you know?
Got it.
So with Staten Island, we have a lot of hills. So I was always running up and down those hills. I went to Plattsburgh, but my major was business management. But while at Plattsburgh, you know, being a freshman, being in a new environment, I turned up. You know, I went crazy. I started drinking. My goal was to take over the school. So I started drinking, started partying. I became friends with all the frats, all the sororities, and I was just that guy. I walk into a random house party with a bottle of Captain Morgan and just feed everyone. You know, so I was I was a party animal. I realized that my immune system started to like compromise, man. I started to get head colds and stuffy nose, and I started to get sick. And I'm a person that really gets sick, so I had to slow things down. But also, while in college, I was trying to make some money to pay my phone bill. You know, go out and party, mm-hmm. more parties. So I got a gym. I got a job at the fitness center. So the second semester of my freshman year, they made me a supervisor. For some reason, I found myself being in this place without even having to work hard. Everything came to me second nature. It was just natural.
Got it.
You know? I was working with the staff, you know, the faculty, the student body, and it felt like I was home. So I changed my majors from business management to nutrition. Then later on, I added personal training. And then I started playing rugby, you know, a sport that was foreign to me, but that's a different story. So after I graduated, you know, my goal was, okay, let's go back. So while I was playing rugby, my nickname was Onyx, O-N-Y-X, Onyx Fit, Onyx. So after I graduated, my goal was to create a gym called Onyx Fitness, you know?
Got it, yeah.
I came home, started looking for the domain, and I saw that Onyx Fitness was already taken. So I was crushed.
Got it.
So I asked my siblings to help me come up with a name that would convey my passion for fitness. So while playing around with different wordings, myself and my siblings came up with Get Up and Get Fit. And once I heard that, I got chills. Like, ooh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It was automatic. So I got the name Get Up and Get Fit. At this time, you know, I was working as an independent trainer, trying to make money on the island. But as you know, Staten Island is very spaced out. And I realized I needed to branch out and work with more folks that were not just students and not just folks that I was used to. I needed to expand my network, right? So I got a job at David Barton Gym. Now, with David Barton Gym, they're big on education, and they're also a gym that's known for being very niche. So they worked with a lot of celebrities, a lot of models. So I became exposed to that you know, that lifestyle and that crowd right there. I worked there for 2 years. I'm very goal-oriented. I worked there for 2 years. After 2 years, I decided to leave and do my own thing. But while there, I learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about business. I learned a lot about how to interact with busy entrepreneurs and business mm-hmm. folks. Because I was working with politicians. I was working with just every type of body, you know, folks that I wouldn't have even had a chance to meet if I wasn't in that environment. But while there, I noticed a few things, right? From working there, also working at other places, I noticed the lack of accountability when it comes to the fitness, you know, industry.
People and health maintenance in general.
Yes, yes, definitely. People would join the gym, especially around New Year's. They'll be gung-ho. And after about 2 months, they'll fall off the bandwagon, man. They'll just fall off. But the gyms will continue to charge them despite them not being there. And so it wasn't a sustainable system. This was a format that was created for the gyms to make money. So, I mean, I realized this and I told myself, now, this is a problem, man. This is definitely a problem. So after I left, I created my company and I really focused on accountability because I saw that I was slacking. I did the boot camp. I did a few boot camps in Brooklyn. And so, Mo, I am a student. I'm forever a student, right? As I progressed and I picked new things up, I added to my archive. I added to my database. And the funny thing is, I also realized that one of the hardest things to do is to change your family's lifestyle, your family's health. Because mm-hmm. even though I was a fitness and a nutritionist, fitness professional nutritionist, it was hard to get my family to get healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is something that happens on a regular basis. I have had this conversation so many times with other friends of mine, doctors, other folks within the fitness field, and it's the same thing. But at the same time, I constantly decided to grind until I got to this place where I decided to really focus on a specific niche. And part of the reason why I decided to focus on a specific niche, which is working with a lot of busy professionals and entrepreneurs, was this one period of time when I was working with one of my clients at David Barton Gym. Now, she was the VP of a multi-billion-dollar company. I was going through her nutrition and her lifestyle, and I realized this lady, she was having about 8 meetings a week and having, well, most of her meetings were at restaurants and bars. And you know, New York City has so many bars and so many restaurants.
True story.
And I also noticed she was drinking about 1 to 3 drinks per meeting, man. If you know the compound effect, if you add up all those drinks, that's a lot of drinks right
that's
there.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
In terms of calories and sort of alcohol intake. So real quick, though, because you mentioned an important word, that accountability word. The question is, accountable to whom? Whom are these people accountable to? Is it themselves? Are they accountable to you as their trainer? Sort of what is the ultimate accountability that you're shooting for when it comes to an individual's health and wellness?
So when I work with an individual, the first thing I find out about this individual is the why. Why would you want to work with me? Why you even decided to come on board, Get Up and Get Fit? Why you reached out to me, right?
Or now, why do you want to be healthy? Why do you want to live this lifestyle?
Yeah, because if your why is not strong enough, when you go through adversity, you're always going to go back to your norm because our body is built to make us comfortable, right? It's not built for us. It's not built to make us healthy. That's where consciousness comes from. That's where consciousness plays the big role when it comes to becoming healthy and fit. So I found out about the why, and once I find out about the why, then I'm able to reverse engineer and really create a plan. But the first step, like I said, you have to understand your why. Your why has to be strong enough, strong enough. So when it comes to accountability, it's yourself first. You have to be accountable to yourself before you can be accountable to anybody else. You know, self-accountability is key right there. Yeah.
So when it comes to health and wellness, right, how does this sort of contrast to what we see in society? You know, I think sometimes these things can have definitions that might not be what we talk about as far as health and wellness in medicine, right? Because what we see in ads, right, we see sort of a bodybuilder on steroids. We see the high-flying executive that can fly first class and drink blues and, you know, all the while they're eating organic sauteed broccolini with truffle oil or something. But meanwhile, that person is sitting behind computers taking a bunch of conference calls and not meeting his steps goal for the day, right, on his smartwatch or something. Or you have the serial dieter who just lost 20 pounds and they got that colonic cleanse and they look great for a wedding or something. But is that a healthy lifestyle? What is health and wellness, to you in terms of, right, a person sort of maximizing their health outcomes, their fitness outcomes, and even their productivity in life?
Yeah, so let's go to productivity. So when I look at health and wellness, it's how you feel, right? It's how you feel and your ability to perform at your highest, right? Mm. It's like an athlete. So a person that's riding first class on a flight that might be drinking lots of variation of various drinks and also having a saute salad, organic salad, in their mind, they might think they're healthy, right? But they're not, because the alcohol is kind of off balancing what they're consuming. So the main thing is about knowledge, right? Knowledge is key, right? I hear this all the time. People say knowledge is key. But my thing is, even though knowledge is key, but action is the catalyst that turned the key, right? You have to take action. You might have knowledge, but you have to apply the action so you can really transform your life. So
or apply that knowledge that you have. Yep.
You have to apply the knowledge. You have to apply the knowledge. It's definitely important. So, like I said, being able to perform at your highest, right? So if you know you have to get certain things done, right, it should be your first priority, your priority to focus on yourself. Focus on getting enough sleep. Focus on getting enough water. Focus on consuming the right fuel, right? The right nutrition, right? It's key. Because if you were to go eat a burger and a fries, how do you feel afterwards? You feel tired and lethargic, right? So it's all about being conscious of what you put in your body. It's about being able to perform at your highest, right? When I say perform, that also applies to thinking.
Got it. And so maybe in terms of that, if we start out with, as we said, that initial why, and I would just use as my why, right? My family. Yeah. Previously, the motivation was, oh, Maurice Obi wants to look gorgeous on the beach for his vacation, you know, or, right, I just want to be able to play ball and be a beast in playing basketball, football, running track. But that has changed for me to where it's now my family. So how can we choose a why that is ideal, or is there an ideal why for any individual? You know, at this point, I feel like it's my daughter, right? I mean, I know as a 36-year-old man, like with a family at this point, I'm not living for myself anymore. So a lot of my motivation in my career, in how I sort of divide my time and how I prioritize things in my life, really goes back to my family and maintaining that family and raising my children. But sort of what is, in your experience in training individuals and the clients that you work with, and as a fitness expert, what is the ideal why for any individual?
So when it comes to your why should be strong enough to take you from your comfort zone to discomfort. Because if your why is not strong enough to take you from A to B, then it's pointless, right? So now this question right here, it's very, very customizable. You know, it's not just one ideal why. You know,
got it.
A person might have a why like yourself. Your why is for your family, your daughter. Another person might
one to me, and me too. I'm selfish too, to a certain extent. I mean, I still want to look good. I still want to feel good, right? And
But yet again, your why is strong enough to take it from your comfort zone, right? To that next point. So there you go. So you find a why that is good enough for you, that is strong enough to push you. All right.
Got it.
So as long as your why is strong enough to get you past that point, then you're on the right track.
Got it. And so that could be anything. So quick question, Reed and Anastasia, I don't know if you guys have thought about this. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but any whys for you guys? Like, why would you sort of engage in, I guess, a healthy, active lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, at least for me, I haven't been exercising, but just last week I was laying in bed the other night and I was like, damn, I gotta get on this. I gotta start exercising. At least for me, my why right now, obviously for myself, I know I need to get better. I know I'm going to have a better night's sleep if I do. But a couple weeks ago, I went to go donate blood. And I walked up a hill. There's a hill right before the donation center. I was wearing a mask on, so I was breathing a little heavy. And they turned me away because my pulse was too high just from walking up a hill. So for me, that was kind of a moment where I was like, something's a little wrong here. My heart shouldn't be 102 beats per minute after walking up a sizable hill, but still nothing crazy. I'm 22 years old. I should be able to handle that, you know?
Yeah, and yeah, definitely. 102 beats per minute. That's a bit up there.
I feel like sometimes we are told externally what that why should be, whether it is, as we said, for right a certain appearance, or to appeal to other people for whatever reason, maybe to get a job, when if we make these more intrinsic motivations, and really what that pertains to is that it changes for everyone. And I also think it can change throughout our lives, because there was a time where my main motivation was to, as I said, right, I just want to look good. I want to be able to play ball.
Yeah.
There was a point in college and in medical school where I was like, yo, this is the way that I stay sane. One, like I want to, be in a good mood and have a healthy sort of mental state, which we know from the literature, right? Those endorphins that we talk about that get flowing after, any sort of exercise, that is real. That is a real phenomenon, that is a physiologic process that has been shown time and time again. So we know the health outcomes when it comes to mental health and well-being, right? And exercise and living an active lifestyle. That's a fact. And so that was my motivation in med school. It's like, yo, I want to be able to hit the books, right? I want to be able to be efficient in my studies and keep my body. And as you said, right, optimize my performance as a medical student and as a burgeoning medical professional. And now that why has changed for me, and that a lot of my motivation is really aimed at my family. I want to live to 100. I want to see my grandchildren, my great grands, and still be able to play with them. Like, that's my goal, right? Yeah. There are things that can happen throughout life, but I want to put my body, or at least optimize things, so that I am able to meet those goals when it comes to my family.
Yeah, Mo.
But it could change.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny you mentioned that, because part of the reason why I have my company, I mean, I have a bit of a selfish reason too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna be transparent. So my grandfather lived to be 109 years old on my father's
side. Wow.
You know, so my goal is to beat him, to at least hit at least 100.
You are a competitor. Yo, you said that at the beginning. Yo, that's crazy.
So having a wellness team, a wellness support company, I'm able to lean on them, right? I'm able to utilize the fitness coaching, the yoga, the Pilates, the meditation, the dietitian, the massage therapist, the professional chef. I'm able to utilize all those services because of my company, you know?
Got it.
So that's my selfish, part of my selfish reason right there. But the other part is really, it's really to give back, man. It's really to give back, because I wasn't born here. I came here when I was 6 years old, right? So I was born in Liberia, a country in West Africa. I came here when I was 6 years old, moved to Brooklyn for a few years, got into a lot of fights, because I came from a very proud family heritage, right? So my grandmother babied me. I was like one of the favorite grandkids. So moving to Brooklyn, living in Bronzeville, and having kids make fun of you because of your accent and your skin color, I wasn't having that. So my parents, because they saw that I was getting into fights all the time, we moved to Staten Island. That's when things became better because it was more of a diverse setting, you know, made new friends. And through sports, that's how most boys make friends, right? So I made friends through sports and things became better for me. But fast forward, my goal with my company is to create a trade school in Liberia because I believe in small businesses. I believe that businesses are what help to grow the economy, not the government, but businesses. By creating a trade school, I'll be able to equip, you know, the citizens with a trade so they can support themselves, right? You know, I'm big on the analogy, teach a man how to fish, you can eat forever, all right? So that's one of the goals with my company, get up and get fit, man.
That's what's up, man. Now, I want to pivot to sort of some of the barriers to people engaging in this healthy, active, productive lifestyle. What are the barriers that you've seen people face when trying to make these changes in their lives, whether it's eating better, exercising more, you know, engaging with family and friends more, or really just living a healthy lifestyle? What are some of the barriers that people commonly present before you in your role as their fitness and health coach and life coach?
Yeah. So Mo, the first thing, man, is get over yourself, man. Mindset, right? Everything starts from here, your mindset. You know, we are, us as human beings, we are so powerful. We are creators, but at the same time, we also tend to, we tend to cripple ourselves as well, right? So once you set yourself, once you have your mindset set on failure, everything else is going to go towards failure. If you have your mindset on success, everything is going to go towards success. Now, you can't expect to be successful when we have a negative mindset. What tends to happen? Your body's going to conform to that, right? Your mood's is gonna go down. You are going to be less active. There's no endorphins. You're going to also increase your cortisol level because you're in a stressful state, right? And you're depressed. So it's mindset, man. And that's what I like to approach first. That's the first thing I approach when I'm working with a client, their mindset, all right? Then once I understand where they're at, where the mindset is, the next part is their external environment. The external environment. So I tend to focus on their habits, really listen and figure out what they're currently doing, what is really crippling them when it comes to getting to that next level, right?
So, and so that those drinks, those three or four drinks a day at those meetings, going back to your client, that VP, that was something that you sort of honed in on as a maybe even a habit, I guess, or just a work culture or an external factor that made an impact on that person's health, correct? That's what I live for. Here she is, Imani. She's been on the podcast before, so here she is again. Every time,
hey,
I say hello,
Imani. How you doing?
Hi. I say hi. This is why I want to live to 100. I want to be 109 too. Actually, maybe even past that.
There you go.
For her. That's the big thing.
So my question is that you mentioned a lot about focusing on mindset and habits. And I was wondering if you ever come across like instances where your clients really don't even realize that they have these kinds of habits that they fall back to, or that aren't like, they think that it's just something natural and normal, but they don't really realize it's something that could be, that is a bad habit for them.
Yeah, all the time. So I mean, if you study human behavior, right, we will always go back to our norm, right? What if it's good or what if it's bad, right? So when you're not conscious of the things that's happening, then we tend to go back to our norm. I see this happening all the time with my clients, with folks I have conversations with. But it's all about really having that conversation, bringing them back to the present moment, right? Allowing them to understand what's happening by sharing with them, also by having them share with me what they're currently doing, having them also for them realize for themselves while having these conversations, realize for themselves, this is what's happening. This is what I'm doing. This is the outcome. This is what I'm doing. And I'm always going back to this end result, right? So by having this transparency and this open communication, it really helps to bring them back to center, all right? Back to present.
I feel like that's very important, you know, because like we are humans. We do get, we fall off, you know, we may be running towards our goal and then something happens and we fall off. Like I used to be a former varsity volleyball player.
Okay.
You know, and then college happened and then I didn't have enough time to go play volleyball as much as I did. So I started working out and then I got injured. So I had to stop working out. So it's like a constant, you know, like, and starting is always difficult. How do you help your clients like maintain that momentum? Because when you first start working out after not working out for a while, due to whatever reason, like a very busy lifestyle, for example, for me, how do you help them stay on track to keep getting over that awful first workout or awful first like session with you or a couple of weeks? Yeah. When you really just start going into it after you have this whole conversation of transparency, because sometimes people can just like say they want to do something, have the motivation for it, and then they just can't follow through with it.
So the thing is, doing a little bit is better than doing nothing at all, right? So some people have this mindset of I'll either go 0 to 100 or do nothing at all. But that's not the way things are supposed to be, right? Also, with the term working out, when people think of working out, they think of heavy lifting, I'm benching 300 pounds, I'm running around. No, working out is basically just moving your body, increasing circulation, right? You could be working at your desk and setting your alarm on your phone to go off every hour to walk around, move around, do some squats. That's working out, right? So the misconception of working out really throws people off. It's about adapting daily lifestyle habits. It doesn't have to be rigorous. It doesn't have to be nothing too strenuous. But as long as you're moving and you increase your circulation, that's important. How do we feed our body? Through our bloodstream. We eat food, it breaks down, it flows to our bloodstream. We work out, what happens? Our circulation increases. It goes through our various muscles and our cells and et cetera. That's what working out is supposed to do. It's supposed to invigorate your body. You're basically increasing your blood circulation. All right. So it's all about the getting rid of that misconception of me as an
athlete. So
go ahead.
I don't have to be in the gym, man. You mean I don't need a gym membership and like be at, you know, this expensive gym where they give me clean towels and with all the fancy equipment. I don't need that.
No.
Or the CrossFit gyms that are across New York City right now.
I don't need the latest workout tape. Like, I can do this myself to a degree.
My grandfather lived to be 109 years old. And did he have a gym in Africa? No. Did he have a fancy coach or membership or, you know, or spa? No, he did not. He was consistent. He ate well. He was active every day, right? And he also made sure he took care of his mindset. So it's really about... It's not as hard as people make it seem as it is. It's not.
But you have to put work in.
You have to put work and you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent.
Got it.
Oh yeah, my dad's gonna live to like 120. Yeah, then. He like gets up 5:30 in the morning to like walks a good mile and a half and comes back, and like every day consistently just gets up. And sometimes he'll wake me up in the morning. He's like, "You coming?"
Yeah,
and
I'm like, "You get up." but it's funny though. It's funny. The thing is, like, people will go up. They'll wake up. And they'll go out to the club and they'll dance for like 2 hours. There was sweat. And they'll go back home. That's working out. I mean, if you don't drink any alcohol, that's working out right there. But are they complaining? No, they're having a good time. It's, like I said, it's really about perception. Whatever, however you perceive activity to be, you're going to embody that. If you dread going to the gym, if you dread exercise or working out, because you're basically aligning working out with something negative, all right? Wild dance, move around with your friends, laugh. That's part of working out too.
This is one of the points in life where I feel like I think the wisest words came from, at that time to me, the most unlikely place. It was from my little brother. So yeah, I was down in Maryland and my brother Matthew just dropped knowledge on me. And I was like, you know, I'm there visiting while I was in med school, and I was like, yo, I got to get back to the gym, man. Like, I've just been, you know, struggling to get back into it again. He was like, yo, Mo, gym is everywhere. And I looked at him, I was like,
there you go.
I was like, yo, he's actually right. Like, I couldn't argue with him. And, you know, I remember thinking like, wow, man, getting like advice from our brother, which is awesome though, you know. But yeah, that was it for me. He just dropped that knowledge on me, and it's a fact. Like, that was a moment of clarity for me. And I think that's something that really just we all need to take into account, right? This is, you can get this in and get this active lifestyle in multiple ways, whether it's through dancing, going for that mile and a half walk in the morning, like Anastasia's grandfather.
No, my dad.
If you need to be in the gym, or your dad, I'm sorry. Yep. The thing is, it changes for everybody, right? Some people, they get that runner's high. They love to run. There are some people that are swimmers, and that's what they like to do. Mm-hmm. And we have people that like to dance or to go for strolls or walks. And I think it varies for each. And then you got the gym rats. The gym rat, that's their haven. That's where they are themselves, and they're able to optimize their outcomes and their goals when it comes to living in a healthy and active lifestyle. And so I think really what you're saying, Thomas, is to be flexible, correct?
Yeah, like I said, be flexible. You know, don't think because you don't have a gym membership, you can't work out. Like your brother said, the gym is everywhere, right? Anything could be the gym. The main thing is just to be active, be consistent, get fresh air, eat well, and really live life in that matter. You know, you want to feel good. If you feel good, then you could make better decisions. You know, they can make better decisions, and you can accomplish more in life.
It's really great to hear someone that's really in this field say that maintaining a healthy lifestyle doesn't have to be as difficult as we think it is, that it doesn't have to require all these like extra things that we kind of like see other people do that might not work for us. So I quite like it, you know, like I always thought, like, if I'm not at the gym or if I'm not running, I'm not really being super healthy. But hearing this, it's great, you know, it's great to see that sometimes even though progress, you're not going 0 to 100, but making any sort of progress is good.
And even during this time, especially, right, with the financial crunch, with you know, the economic fallout as a result of the pandemic. Yeah. So those gym memberships and stuff and those things are much harder to afford for a good swath of the population. And this is the message, right? We can get out and be active and meet our health and wellness goals without, you know, splurging, I guess.
Yeah. It's like during this period of COVID, I've been really leaning on my coaches. You know, we have sessions on our laptop, you know, 3 days a week. And that's what's been keeping me healthy. Also me moving around too. But
got it.
You really have to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to take care of you. You know, most folks that don't really take care of themselves, they're so used to binge watching everything they see on TV and on the internet, and they're becoming so stressed out, and they're not handling their stress in a healthy manner, and that's leading to anxiety. You know, people are really suffering from anxiety. People are going bonkers, right? The divorce rate has increased. There has been an increase rate for domestic abuse. People are going crazy, and they're not really, like I said, they're not handling their stress in a healthy manner.
And what would you say, Thomas? Just a couple more things, more specific stuff. Just as far as the amount of exercise that we should be getting each day, and really, what is most important: aerobic exercise, strength training, or both? What would you say is the ideal combination or arrangement?
All right. So Mo, you're a doctor. You know about the human. You know that we have various systems. We have the muscular system. We have the endocrine system. We have the lymphatic system. We have various systems within our human body, right? In order for those systems to function at its optimal level, we have to move. We have to move. So the combination of strength training and aerobics is a perfect recipe to keep you healthy, right? For instance, when I get up in the morning, I jump rope for 5 minutes. Why? Because I need to wake up my lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system is responsible for getting rid of the body toxin. And how does it work? We have to move around. We have to balance. We have to move around. So by doing that, I'm helping my body get rid of the toxin. Of course, I'm also helping my circulatory system as well, right? And my muscular. So you have to move. You have to help your systems out, okay?
As we begin to wrap up, what would you say, out of everything that we discussed, what would you say is the most important message that our listeners should take home tonight?
The most important message, I would say, even though we've dropped a lot of gems, is really, really taking care of your mindset and being active, even if it's just moving a little bit every day. But be active, be consistent, and there's no end goal when it comes to what you can do. All right, you are capable of so much. Just stop limiting yourself, because you are built in God's image, and that makes you a creator. You can do anything you want. But you have to be willing to believe that. You have to believe it in yourself.
Five.
And have fun with it.
And have fun with it. Exactly. Enjoy the journey. Yes.
And Anastasia and Reed, anything you guys want to throw in there as far as what you've learned from the show or what you think the audience should take home?
Yeah, I think something that stood out to me the most was how you mentioned that a lot of people have a negative association with the gym. Like the other day when I was laying in bed and I was like, man, I got to start working out. Like, I hate running. I don't want to go running. But I love to swim. I swam in high school. I love swimming. So I have a positive association with that. And then also, once you start going and you build that habit, that negative association will tend to go away.
True story. You'll want to be in the water. You will want that burn or that want to be in it. That's a fact. I've definitely appreciated that too. Anastasia?
I think that one takeaway that I got is that regardless of the situation you're in, right? Because your grandfather, Mr. Thompson, he lived to like 100 and what? 109. 109.
Correct.
And with no gyms. And now COVID has put us in a situation where we are not having our usual modes of activity. You know, people at the gym were very, very upset that gyms were closed until very recently. But it allowed us to have the opportunity to explore other venues of exercise in different manners. And that is something that we touched upon now, is that if one thing doesn't work for one person, it might work for someone else. And dancing is still capable. You can still dance in your room, even if you're not in the club.
True story.
Exactly.
Word, man. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to just thank you all for tuning into Health in Harlem. We want to thank you, Thomas, for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, this is once again Thomas Johnson, the founder and CEO of Get Up and Get Fit. And can you just let us know how they can get in contact with you and take a look at the services that you guys offer?
Sure. You guys can contact me either via LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm also a C-suite advisor and investor as well. You guys can also find me on getupandgetfitelite.com. Getupandgetfitelite.com. And that's N with just the letter N. Okay. Looking forward to connecting with you guys.
Word, man. And we got to have a Curtis tracker union ASAP. Bro. It's so good to see you, man. I'm so proud of you and the work that you're doing and just being an entrepreneur and putting, you know, health and wellness sort of at the forefront of what you do and really just giving people the wisdom and knowledge they need to live happy and healthy lives. That's what we really appreciate. Also, I want to thank Anastasia and Reed for joining on the program, my co-hosts. And also, we want to shout out to the rest of the Health in Harlem team, Giorgio, Michael Holmes, Ashley Francis, Alec. We want to shout out Zach Worley, Ben Suferi, who recently got a lot of his med school obligations out of the way. And he is back in effect, looking to join us very shortly on a program. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. This show, as we always say, is dedicated to the memory of Miss Gloria Thomas, and I did promise Imani that she can sing her goodbye song, so she's gonna do that now. Sing into the mic. Goodbye. Yay.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen.